everybody in the house of the Lord this morning. Aren't you glad that you didn't stay home and watch the women's soccer team play at 11 o'clock? I've got it DVRing, so I'm looking forward to watching. I can't believe they're going to play that on a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, man. They're not even thinking about all the Christians in the world that are going to church at that time. It's going to be amazing to see how many Christians laid out of church this morning to watch that game. So it's so good to see everybody here today. I'm glad that you did not do that. And so we're excited that you're here today. And we're excited about what God is doing here at River of Life Church. If you're a first-time guest here, we're so glad that you came. And we hope that you received a welcome packet on the way in. If you'll fill out the Connect card in that, we've got a gift that we want to give you just to say thank you for coming and worshiping with us. River of Life, do me a favor and let's start our good to have you here with us. We're going to get into the Word today, and we've got some announcements that we're going to have at the end of the service. Many of you know that we're having one of the biggest outreaches that we have of the year, August the 11th. We've rented the event center right next door because it's going to house a lot more people than our building can house. And so we're to sign up for one of the teams that's going to be serving that day. It's going to be going on a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And so we got a really great outreach. Like I said, this is one of the biggest ones we do every year. And so we're going to share a little bit about that as we get at the end of this service so that you can kind of get a little bit of information and hopefully get plugged in on one of those teams. We got to get your t-shirt sizes today so that we can order it. We've got a special edition River of Life t-shirt that's coming out. And the only way that you're going to be able to get one of those is to serve on one of those teams, because we're not getting extra ones made, so they won't be for sale. So where we can get one is to serve. Amen. Serving has some perks, right? Amen. So we're excited about that. And speaking of serving, one of the things that we wanted to start doing each month here at River of Life is we wanted to recognize just one of the people. How many of you know it takes a lot of people to do what we do on a weekly basis? And so what we've asked is our ministry coordinators that lead specific ministries to let us know about a person in their particular ministry that's going above and beyond or doing something that's displaying Christian character that we can kind of bring out and we can share with the church. And so today, our first one, we're going to start doing this once a month. So the first person we want to recognize that is Tara Farrow, and we want to thank her for her commitment. Deb Ramirez had recommended her and just shared some stuff with us about her serving on the outreach ministry, and she's been doing a terrific job. Many of you were there last night as we went out and did a 4th of July celebration with the city, and we gave away a bunch of flags. And for those of you that may not have known that, Tara purchased most of those flags that we gave away last night to sow into the community. And what we want to do is we just want to take a moment and thank her for serving and all the stuff that she does behind the scenes that people don't see. And so we're thankful for that. And I'm going to tell you, what can we learn from somebody that has an example like that? We can learn a lot of things of doing things behind the scenes. There's a lot of things that people do that are not seen. So I want to encourage you. You may be here today and you may be doing things behind the scenes that nobody seems to notice. Let me encourage you something today. God sees what you're doing. God notices what you're doing. And if you continue to sow, God is faithful and he's going to make sure that you reap a harvest. Amen. So we want to just encourage you with that, and we want to encourage you as well for those of you that may be members of the church or maybe part of the church and you're not serving on the dream team. We want to encourage you. What our dream team is it's everybody that serves in River of Life Church, whether they're on the praise team, whether they're an usher, whether our people that are serving in children's ministry right now, whether it's our greeters, whether it's the cleaning team. We want to encourage you that there's a place for you here to use the gifts that God's given you. So if you're not serving anywhere and you're looking for a place to serve, if you're not serving somewhere, you should be looking for a place to serve. Amen? So we want to give you an opportunity and let you know. Speak with one of these guys. Guys, if you're a ministry coordinator, would you raise your hand real quick so people can see you? So look around real quick, and if you're interested in serving on any of these teams, just come and see these guys, and they can let you know how to get started serving the house of God today. Amen? Praise the Lord. I got one more announcement I want to make real quick before we get into the Word this morning. How many of you know Tanya and Quentin Vaughn? They had Max was born prematurely in Mississippi a few months ago. And I want to tell you some good news today. Max is off the ventilator. Max is off the feeding tube. Max today weighs, keep praying for 6 ounces. And so we want to rejoice with them. We want to encourage you, keep praying for them and believing God that he's going to continue to get stronger. And pretty soon we're going to have Max here with us, and they're going to get to bring him up here, and we're going to get to praise God and cheer together about what God is doing in his life. Amen? Hallelujah. How many of you noticed the donuts when you came in this morning? Amen. Did you have one of those donuts? How many of you knew that today was the first day of our 21 days of prayer and fasting? It was a test. No, I'm kidding. Some of you failed. I see the evidence right here. Now, we're so blessed to be starting today 21 days of prayer and fasting, and we're going to kick that off with donuts. No, I'm just kidding. So we're starting that, and a lot of people, that's not my message today. I want to talk to you about prayer, but I want to talk to you really quickly. What can you do? This is a corporate fast, right? And so what a corporate fast is there's times in the Bible where leaders would call a group of people together to fast and pray. And I'm going to tell you, if you've never been involved in a corporate fast, it's different than a private fast. And when you come together in a corporate fast, what you can know is there are people in this church that for the next 21 days are going to be laying down some things food-wise. Maybe you need to lay down. You know, I know a lot of people talk about I'm fasting social media or TV. That's good, but that's not really a fast. That's abstaining from something. A fast is when you give up a particular food for our food, something that you're putting in your body for a particular amount of time. And so if you need to let go of Facebook or you need to let go of Netflix for 21 days, that's great. But don't forget about, you know, something that you want to fast as far as eating as well. Amen? So I want to encourage you. What do I mean by that? You can fast all kinds of things. There's Daniel fast where people just eat vegetables. They don't eat bread or whatever you want to. But the important thing is that we participate in this together. Now, obviously, we're not going to force anybody to do that. We're just asking you if you would come together with us as a church for the next 21 days to fast and pray. And one of the reasons that we're doing that is because we want to take this time and we want to draw nearer to God. One of the greatest reasons to fast is how many of you could use more Jesus in your life? This is us to let go of some natural things so that we can focus more on spiritual things. And there are times in our life where we get into a rut, where we get into like the humdrum of a relationship with God. And I'm telling you, there's nothing like fasting and prayer that will pull you out of that into a deeper relationship with God. So I want to encourage you to be doing that. It's a time for refocusing our priorities and putting God first in everything. So I want to challenge everybody. We're going to be doing that as a church. And so if you would be a part of that, we want to encourage you to be a part of that. Some of the things you can be fasting and praying for, we're getting ready to take a team down to Peru. We're going to be on the Amazon. So you can be fasting for our safety, for our health, and most importantly, the people that have not heard the gospel there that are going to be hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ in the next couple of weeks. Be praying for their hearts and asking God to prepare them as we get ready to go. Amen? So today, if you've got your Bibles with you, you can go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 11. And the title of my message today is going to be Prayer Helps. Prayer Helps. And what I want to talk about today, that's like a double meaning, prayer helps. How many of you know prayer helps you in your life? Amen. If you're walking through a difficult time today, prayer helps in every situation. There are people that have just lost loved ones that I know. There are people that are walking through a difficulty, a sickness in their body or a sickness in their family. There are people that are dealing with loneliness and depression. There are people that are dealing with all types of things. And I just want to tell you today, no matter who you are, no matter what you're going through, prayer is an amazing, powerful weapon that God has given us that will help us in life. Amen? How many of you know that to be true in your own life? Prayer helps situations in your life. Now, that's what I want to talk to you about. But the second part of that prayer helps is there are prayer helps for every situation, and then there are prayer helps that teach us how to pray. You understand what I'm saying? So we're talking about prayer helps in every situation, but the most of what I want to talk to you about today is helps. In other words, things that will help you to learn to pray better and things that will help us to jumpstart our prayer life. So let's look at Luke chapter 11. I'm going to read to you verses 5 through 10. And this is Jesus speaking. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have is now to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, Yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, and he whom you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you today, Father, that you have a desire to draw near to us. And one of the vehicles that you've given us to do that is through prayer. And so, Father, I pray today as we have these next few minutes together, Lord, that you would bless us. I pray that you would touch every person here. I pray that you would give us wisdom. I pray that you would cause a fire and a passion to burn in our hearts, to speak with you, to commune with you, and to have fellowship with you, God, like believers of old did. Father, we thank you for that, and we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. That you notice. And so I want to just bring out a few things in this few passage of scripture that you notice. Number one, friendship with God is a help to prayer. Did you notice that when he was talking about the person that came, he said, a friend, lend me. Do you understand that? In other words, this person had a relationship with the person that they were requesting something from, right? A lot of people have this thing where God is a cosmic butler in the sky that we just go to with a list of needs and we tell him, this is what I want and this is what I need, and then we get up and leave and we don't really have a friendship with God. And I want to tell you today that prayer at its essence, has to be between friends. How many of you know that if you were at home tonight at midnight and somebody knocks on your door and you say, who is it? And they say, it's Steve, give me 3 loaves of bread. And you don't know Steve. You're not getting up and giving Steve 3 loaves of bread. You're going to call the cops. And you're going to say, this guy must be high. He thinks he knows me. And he's outside my house at midnight knocking on the door asking me for 3 loaves of bread. Why was it not funny for him to do that? Because they were friends. They had a relationship. And I think what we have to understand is prayer in its essence is friendship with God. It's not just asking for something, but it's a friendship before you ask. Does that make sense this morning? The other thing we see is that he begins to ask him, and the friend says, listen, don't trouble me. The door is shut. My kids are in bed. I can't rise and give you. And he says, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. See, persistence is a help in prayer today. Many times what we do is we pray for something one time, and if it doesn't happen, we just say, well, it's not God's will, and we quit praying. Over again, and I keep being persistent about that, God is going to give me something that I'm asking for. That can seem to be what this is saying, but that's not what it's saying. See, the persistence in this is for you, not for God. You're never going to change God's mind by begging for something. And there's another thing about this is we see that God is a good father. And how many of you know if your son is bad, you're not going to give them something bad. You're going to give them something good. How many of you know what I'm talking about? If your 3-year-old wants to eat Snickers for supper, what are you going to say? And how many of you know kids can be persistent? They can be very persistent. I want a Snickers. I want a Snickers. I want a Snickers. Mommy, mommy, give me a Snickers. And you're like, no, you're not having that. Why? Because you're a good parent and you know what they need and you know that's not what they need. Many times when we pray, we think that God is not listening and we think God is not loving, but in all actuality, what God is doing is he's trying to get you to look at what you're praying about and make sure it lines up with his will and not something that you're just looking for that's not going to be good for you in the end. A lot of times the reason our prayers are not answered is because they're not good prayers and they're not according to the will of God for our lives and they're not according to the Word of God. And that's a lot of times why that happens to us. I want you to see there's a progression that we see in here. He says, ask and what? Seek, knock, and it'll be open. So let's think about that for a minute. He says ask, and if you look that word up in the Greek, it actually says keep on asking. Keep on asking, and it will be given. Let me ask you a question. What are you constantly asking for? What are you consistently asking for? You may not even be verbalizing that. You may not even be speaking that out to God, but what does your life say that you're consistently asking for? What is the thing that your heart is drawn to? You know what I'm talking about, those things inside of us that we absolutely want and we're asking for. What are you asking for consistently today? The next thing is seek, and that word in the Greek means keep seeking and you will find. Let me ask you right now, what are you seeking right now? If you'll look at your life and you'll look at your habits and you'll look at what are you spending time on, what are you spending time looking at? You want to know what you're seeking? Look at your web browser history. What are you seeking? What are you looking at? What are your thoughts going after? What are you pursuing in your life right now? Is it natural things or is it spiritual things? And all of us have to pursue natural things as well. I'm not saying that it's wrong to seek natural things. But what I'm saying is if you were to look right now, what are you seeking spiritually? What are you actually getting up and going after? What are you actually asking for spiritually from God? And I want you to notice something in this parable before we go to the knock and look at that. Did you notice that he was not seeking something for himself? He was not asking something for himself, but a friend of his that had come to him. Isn't that an amazing thing? Do you know what prayer almost always is going to get answered? When you stop praying just for yourself and you start praying for other people. When you start seeking God's hand, not for your life, but for other people, all of a sudden God makes sure that you have what you need so that you can become a vessel that he uses to be a blessing to other people. I want you to notice in this story, he wasn't coming and saying, friend, I'm hungry. I need 3 loaves of bread for myself. He was saying, listen, I've got a friend that came to me on a journey and I've got nothing to set before him. Would you please lend me 3 loaves of bread? In other words, I'm not looking for myself. I'm looking for them. And when we begin to pray like that, how many of you remember the story of Job? And when you begin to read the story of Job and all of these terrible things that happened to Job, there's a, it says, when Job prayed for his friends, everything got restored to him. There's an amazing principle in that. These were friends that were sitting around Job, and they weren't the kind of friends you want to have when you're having a bad day, because every one of them was, it's like 30 chapters of them just taking zingers at Job and telling Job, well, you know, this happened because you're this. This happened because you don't have faith. This happened because of all these reasons. And they start sticking their finger all in Job. And then the Bible says Job prayed for his friends, and it pleased God. And then he got double for his trouble. It's an amazing thing. The third thing in this that we see in this progression is knock. And the encouragement here from Scripture is keep knocking and it will be opened. So I got one more question for you. What doors are you knocking on right now? Some of us are knocking on doors right now that we shouldn't be knocking on. Some of us are asking God for things and we've gone from asking and we've gone from seeking, and now we're knocking on doors, and God's saying, listen, you don't want what's behind door number 3. I'm trying my best not to give you door number 3. Don't keep knocking on that door, because there's a principle, a spiritual principle, and guess what it is? If you keep knocking, the door is going to be open. And it's not just a blessing sometimes. It can actually be something that you don't want. How do you know that? Because if you keep asking for something, even though God does not want to give it to you, if you keep asking, he's eventually going to give it to you, just like he did with Balaam in the Old Testament. Balaam kept asking and kept asking, and finally God said, go ahead and have it. The children of Israel kept asking and kept asking, and God said, okay, that's what you want? Have it. There it is. I'm trying to give you something much better than that. And there's a warning in this for us, and there's a blessing in this for us as well. If we're knocking on the right door, listen, don't stop knocking. If you're knocking on the door because you're trying to be a blessing in other people's lives, if you're knocking on the door because you need something from God, like a healing that he's already promised in his word, don't you quit knocking. Don't you give up. You keep knocking on that door, because there's a spiritual principle where the word of God says, if you keep knocking, that door is going to be opened. It's going to be open to you. But if you're knocking on the wrong door, quit knocking. Stop knocking on that door. Stop seeking that thing. Stop asking for that thing, because that spiritual principle is going to work both ways. Amen? Now, I want to talk to us about this for a few minutes, and I want to talk to you, and I want to give you some helps when it comes to prayer. I want to just share some things with you. We're going to look at some scripture, but I want to just share some things. I'm going to make some statements about prayer, and then we're going to talk through these. Let me ask you this without raising your hand. How many of us actually had somebody sit down with us and teach us how to pray? You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm just saying, just think about that. Most of the time, the way people learn to pray is by being in a prayer meeting or listening to their parents. If you didn't hear that, prayed. My parents didn't really pray with me when I was growing up. They didn't pray over me, so I didn't hear that. And I'll tell you, the way I learned to pray was by taking E.M. Bounds books on prayer, and I would take those books and I would read a chapter in E.M. Bounds. If you want to get stirred up in your prayer life over the next 21 days, get any book by E.M. Bounds on prayer. Anyone you want to. They're amazing, all of them. And what he does is he writes short chapters and he gives you a real easy teaching that you can put into practice. And what I used to do is I would take an E.M. Bounds book, I would start in chapter 1 that morning, and I would read that chapter. It's about 3 or 4 pages. And then what he taught about prayer that morning, I would put it into practice. And then the next morning, I would go to the next chapter, and I kept reading through those books. That's one of the ways I learned to pray. But it would be amazing if we had people still that were having prayer meetings teaching people how to pray, because many of us learn how to pray from people that really aren't praying. They're just talking. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been in a prayer meeting where you walk in and one person starts praying and the whole thing dies? It's like the presence of God was there, everything was going, and then that one person opens their mouth, and instead of praying to God, they start preaching at God, or they start talking about these other things. That's not prayer, because that's not what God is looking for. Prayer is many things, so I want to talk to you about a few of those things. Prayer is not a business transaction between God and man where we find what we can ask, and we ask and receive. So a lot of times what we're looking for is this, we're looking for this formula, right? That if we can just find this formula, because that's the way we think, it's our human nature to think this, okay? What do I need to do? In other words, when I go into a new job, what gets promoted here, and what do I need to do to get promoted? It's human nature for us to think that way. Give me the steps and tell me it's this, this, and this, and then once I do this and I consistently do this, same kind of mindset, and it doesn't work that way, because God has not got a formula where he says, okay, step 1, step 2, and step 3, do these things, and then prayer is going to open up to you. Because if he does that, it's not a relationship, it's a business transaction. And he's not looking for that. He's looking for a relationship. So prayer helps us to know the creator and savior of the universe. One of the greatest things about somebody, and you didn't really know that person very well at all, and then all of a sudden you guys went somewhere together, like maybe, I don't know what it is, like I've had times where I didn't know people, and all of a sudden I had to share a hotel room with them for something, and then you end up talking for like hours, and you really get to know that person, and all of a sudden you realize, man, I didn't know this person before, but now after spending a little bit of time with them, I have a relationship with them, I kind of know who they are. Many times as Christians, we hear a lot about God and we know about God, but we spend very little personal time with us and God alone. And what prayer helps us to do is actually spend time with God and get to know him better, and for him to get to know us better. It's an amazing thing. Prayer helps us grow in our relationship with God. And how many of you know this to be true? No relationship can flourish and grow apart from honest and open communication. Any relationship that you have, it cannot grow and flourish unless you have open, honest communication. In other words, if your relationship is going to grow, both people have to be open and honest, and they have to spend time talking with one another, asking questions, hearing from the other person. Would you say that's a fair assessment of a relationship? That's how relationships grow. That's how they grow between spouses. That's how they grow between friends. That's how they grow between God and his creation. If you want to know God more, you go to God's word and you spend time praying that back to him and spending time in his presence. And that's going to help you to get to know God in a greater way. See, prayer should be a dialogue and not a monologue. What do I mean by that? Prayer should be a two-way street, not a one-way street, right? Many times, and you don't have to raise your hand for this, I'm guilty of this a lot of times, where I will spend most of the time that I'm with God talking and very little time, if any, listening. And that's not real prayer. That's not a real conversation. That's not real relationship. If I were to say, William, I want to, you know, me and William, I want to get to know William better. And I say, William, let's meet tomorrow morning at Cracker Barrel at 9 o'clock. And we meet and we have breakfast. And for an hour straight, I talk about myself. And I tell him what's going on in my life. And I tell him what's going on with my family. And then after an hour's over with, I jump up from the table and say, man, I enjoyed this great. And I take off and say, let's do this every day for a month. And he's thinking, you hadn't even asked me anything about myself. You've just been talking the whole time. I don't even know you. I don't even know anything about you. I know a lot about you, but you don't know me, right? William would be thinking, I'm not meeting with you for breakfast anymore because you're crazy. Do with God. We give God our list of to-dos, and we begin to tell God, this is what we want. This is what we need. God, this, this, this. And we don't even take a moment to listen to his voice. And say, Lord, if you want to speak to me, I want to quiet myself. I want to listen for you. Lord, what would you have me do today? What would you speak to me today? So I just want to encourage you, and I'm encouraging my time, and really try to get to know God better as we fast together and as we pray together. Let's give God time in our day. And we have to do that if we're going to have a relationship with Him. Prayer should be us talking to God and us waiting and listening for direction from Him. And I remember when I first got saved, I remember somebody talking about that, and it used to be really strange for me for people to say they heard God say this. Or, you know, God told me this. And I would be thinking, man, I never hear God talk. I'd be like, what are you guys talking about? You know, and I was a little bit embarrassed to even ask about that. But what I found is the more I read, I began to hear God's word. And then when I began to pray, if I would get quiet, all of a sudden on the inside, I would begin to hear God speak to me. Not in an audible voice, but the more I stayed in His word and the more I asked things of Him. And then sometimes I wouldn't hear anything, and then I would just get quiet and I would lay down on my face on the ground and I would just listen and I'll say, God, what is it that you want to talk to me about today? And you know what's amazing is God will begin to lead you in ways, and He speaks to us in different ways. But it's an amazing thing when you begin to hear what you begin to get direction from God through all kinds of different things. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And it's an amazing thing when that happens. And then what happens when that seems to dry up and go away? Because it does at times. Do you know what I've learned? That's God moving and causing you to move with Him. See, many times we want to stay in the same place in our prayer life. I've shared this with you before. Years ago, when I first started going to River of Life Church and I gave my life to Jesus, I can remember when I would raise my hands in worship, I could feel the presence of God in every service I went to. It was like all I had to do, as soon as the music started and I raised my hands, boom, I could feel God's presence so strong. And it was like, wow, God, you're here. And I thought I had to feel His presence to know He was there. And I remember very clearly, I went to church one morning, and I remember raising my hands and worshiping God, and I didn't feel anything. And then, you know, halfway through the worship, I was like, God, where are you at? I don't feel anything. And I start stretching up higher. You know, I was getting up on my tiptoes like, Lord, I'm praising as hard as I can. Why am I not feeling anything? Lord, I worship you. And then all of a sudden, these thoughts start going through my mind. Is there any sin in my life that I'm not aware of? You know, God, there's nothing that I'm doing that I know of. And so I start asking the Holy Spirit, Lord, look at my heart. If there's anything wrong, get this out of me, because I want to feel your presence. And I heard the preaching and I never felt the presence of God. And I can remember leaving the service, and I had a barracks room by myself at the time. I remember going back to my room and just falling on my rack, and I started crying, and I was like, God, what's going on? I don't understand. I was like, I don't feel your presence. I don't sense your presence right now. What's happening? Because I was so accustomed to feeling His presence like that. And all of a sudden, the Lord just began to speak to me. And He said, listen, you think I'm only there when you can feel me. And He said, I'm getting ready to take you through a season where you're going to know I'm there whether you feel me or not. You don't need to sense my presence to know I'm there. You've been having that and you've been feeling that. And all of a sudden, I realized God is with me everywhere I go, whether I feel Him or not. And I didn't need that anymore. But how many of you know it's nice to have that feeling? I love to feel that when it happens. But what I learned is that I don't have to have that to know God is with me. And the way that I learned that was through prayer and going to God when I didn't feel that and sense that. Does that make sense this morning? So the next one I want to look at is prayer is talking with God in an open and honest way. Prayer is talking with God in an open and honest way. Why do I say that? Because a lot of times if we're not careful, we try to hide things from God when we're praying. And we talk to God and we know what's going on in our hearts and in our lives. And we'll put on this facade and have you ever heard somebody talk like I'm talking, and they have a normal voice, and then all of a sudden when they pray, God, and they start changing their voice? Do you think God doesn't know how you normally talk? Then they start using words that they never use when they're talking to you and me. They use these big King James words that we don't even know what we're talking about. But the problem is we learned that from other people. We learned that when everybody was still reading the King James Version of the Bible. And what you realize is a lot of our prayer is religion and it's not relationship. And that's what I want to tell you. If you feel like you have to change your voice when you pray, I'm not saying don't. I get excited sometimes. I get loud sometimes. But I'm going to sound like I sound right now. I'm not going to have some other voice that comes out of me when I start praying. I'm going to use the same vernacular that I use right now. I'm not going to feel like I have to start talking King James English all of a sudden because now I'm talking to God and all He understands is King James 1611. How many of you know that that's not what He talks, that's not what He speaks in? But if we're not careful because we grew up in that or we've heard that, this is in our idea of what prayer is. And so what I mean to you is be real with God. David was so real with God. When you read through the Psalms, we're going to talk about the Psalms in just a minute. David was so real with God. There are times where David says, God, who am I that you're mindful of me? We're going to look at this in a minute, that you created the moon and the stars and all these things. And he's worshiping, talking about this. And then a few chapters later, he says, God, I hate this guy. Kick his teeth in. Same guy. Same David. You know what I love about David? David was real. He didn't pull back when he was having a bad day. Read some of the Psalms and you'll be like, that's dirty, hairy stuff. You know, this is harsh stuff. Do you think God doesn't know what's really going on in your heart and what's really going on in my heart? If I'm mad, I tell God I'm mad. I'll tell him, man, I'm so upset right now. I'm upset about this, and I don't know what to do about this. Now, I don't yell at him, but I may yell at the situation, and I may be upset about that. And then I get ready to listen, and there will be lots of times where he will get on to me, and he'll point his finger right at what I need to be focusing on because I'm not focusing on the right thing. And so you want to be real and open with your prayers. Prayer shouldn't be fake and religious sounding. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be fake and religious sounding. Sometimes we pray and we say things like this, and this kind of makes me laugh when I say this sometimes. It's like, oh, Lord, Father, God, our God, and we'll say two words, and God and Lord, and Lord Jesus and God, and it's like if I was to talk to you and I'd say, hey, Kelly, you'd be thinking, what in the world's wrong with me? What's wrong with this guy? I've said his name like 40 times, and I know what we mean. You know what I'm saying? But it's kind of funny when you think about what we're doing. The reason we do that is because we've heard other people do that. We've heard people just put on a show for everybody that's around them instead of having a real heartfelt conversation with God. And that's all prayer is. God knows he's Lord. It's all right to call him Lord. I'm not saying don't call him Lord, but you don't have to use that word every third word when you're praying. Our Lord, our Lord, our God, our Lord, our Lord. You guys know what I'm talking about. So prayer isn't just asking for things, then going about my day. It should be a way of life for the disciple. And here's something that's hard for us because the Bible tells us, have that secret time of prayer between you and the Lord. That's such an important thing for us to have a daily time where we get alone with God. But then if we're not careful, we can put a religious check in the box and we can get up and not think about God for the rest of the day. And that's not what prayer is. Prayer is an ongoing conversation with God. The Bible tells us pray without ceasing. And as crazy as that sounds, it's absolutely possible. And the way I can tell you I know it is because we look at our cell phones without ceasing. We look at our cell phones without ceasing. I don't even have to think about it. That thing comes out of my pocket and my face is in it without even thinking about it. If you can develop a habit to look at a phone, you can develop a habit to pray without ceasing. Right? Prayer should become that way of life for the disciple. Like I said, it's not just asking for things and then going about my day. And I want to give you an example of that. One of my favorite guys, many of you may have heard of him. He was a general in the Confederate Army in the Civil War. His name was Stonewall Jackson. And a lot of people don't realize how much of a prayer warrior he is. And I read this about him years ago, and this changed my way of thinking about prayer. When you've heard that in that's supposed to pray without ceasing. If I've got a family, I've got a job, I've got a lot of responsibilities. How am I going to pray without ceasing? It almost seems impossible until you hear what Stonewall Jackson did. And these are some of the quotes that he has. He said, listen, when I receive a letter from somebody, I never open the letter before praying for the person that sent it to me. When I send a letter, I never seal. I drink water. I never drink a swallow of water without thanking God for the living water that he's given me in Jesus Christ. And what he did was he began to think of ways to remind himself to pray with daily habits and activities that happen. And it became a way of life for him. Everything in his life was a prayer, and he learned to pray that. And it's such an amazing thing. You know, what will happen when you start trying to do that? You'll fail a bunch of times. But if you don't stop, what begins to happen is you can begin to develop a lifestyle and a habit of prayer that I think is going to be a huge blessing to you. Real quick, is will help you know God in a much better way. Amen? The next one I want to share with you real quick is prayer is an exercise in spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. Many times we pray and our mind is not engaged. We can pray religious prayers and we don't even think about what we're praying. We can worship God. There are times when we will be worshiping God and I will catch myself with my hands raised, I'm going to tell on myself this morning. Is that all right? I'll catch myself with my hands raised singing a worship song that I know the words to and thinking about something that I have to do later. Does that ever happen to you? We can pray and all of a sudden our mind is not even engaged and we can be at home or anywhere and we can spend time in prayer and all of a sudden you're thinking about what you got to write down to do when prayer is over. You ever stop prayer to write something down? I've done that so many times. And what does that tell me? That tells me that my spirit is engaged, but my mind is not engaged. And if I'm going to really pray and touch the heart of God and get into some places in prayer that I want to go, I have to learn that I'm a three-part being. I'm spirit, soul, and body, and all three have to be together. I'm going to tell you right now what will happen to you. If you get up at 4:30 in the morning and you try to pray, your mind may be willing and your spirit may be willing, but your body sometimes will not cooperate with you. It's happened to me. I start praying like this early in the morning, and at first I start walking like this, and I'm like, Lord, I thank you for today. I give you praise and glory. And then all of a sudden I get holy, and then I'll get down on my knees, you know, after a while. And I say, Lord, I worship you, and I'm praying. And then all of a sudden I'm thinking, man, this ain't no good. I need to prostrate myself before the Lord. And I get down like this, and then about an hour later I wake up with the carpet stains on the side of my face. You guys know what I'm talking about. Your body may not be willing. And so for you to pray, I've had to learn that when I pray in the mornings early, you know what I do? I go outside and walk because I'm not late. That I just showed you will play out every time. I'll be praising God, and then it's knees, then it's prone, and then it's sleepy time. And I've learned, body, we're praying this morning, so guess what? We're going outside. We're going to walk around the neighborhood. I'm going to get outside where it's hot and I can't lay down, and I'm going to make my body line up. Mind, we're not thinking of worship him. I'm going to the day right now. This is time that I'm going to spend dedicated to God. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to lift some people up. I'm going to do some work in prayer, and you have to discipline ourselves to be able to do those types of things. Does that make sense this morning? All three of us must be engaged. And let me say this. Sometimes our mind, this is what we want to do, right? We want to pray when we're doing other things, right? There's nothing wrong with that. I think that's great. But there are times where we have to stop ourselves and we have to discipline ourselves to spend time with just us and the Lord. Have you ever had a situation where you come in and you're trying to have a conversation with somebody and they won't stop what they're doing? They don't look at you, and you're trying to have a conversation with them and talk to them, and they're just flying around doing all kinds of other stuff, and you're standing there, and you're trying to have a real conversation, and you think, you don't even want to talk to me. Your body language is showing you don't want to talk to me. You're thinking about other things, and I'm seriously trying to have a conversation with you. What do we think God feels like when we're doing that all the time? That's the only way that we pray, while we're doing other things. While our mind is engaged in other things, and then we're just going to throw up some, you know, God, I need this, God, I need that. And it's like God's just sitting there thinking, okay, well, great. You know, when would you like to stop for just a second and spend some face-to-face time with me? When would you like to get alone and let's talk and let you share your heart with me and let me share my heart with you and let me pour some things out to you? It's amazing when we begin to take that time how God begins to move in our lives. And let me just say this one. Prayer can become boring and dry without a connection with God. One of the most boring things in the world is to pray with no connection with God. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be honest with you. It's absolutely boring. You won't be able to do it for long at all. If there's no heart connection between you and God, it's so hard to spend time praying because you don't have any connection at all with him. Prayer is the natural overflow for the heart that's in love with Jesus. When you're in love with Jesus, I'm telling you, when you absolutely are in love with Jesus, and you see what he did for you, and you see the amazing awesomeness of God, prayer just comes out of you. It's not something that has to be forced. It's not something that has to be scheduled. It's something that's just something that just pours out of our hearts. Let me ask you, do you remember if you're married or you got a boyfriend or a girlfriend when you could stay up on the phone, talking on the phone till like 3 o'clock in the morning, and then you knew you had to be ready to go to work at 5 or 6 the next morning, and you were happy, boy. It didn't matter. I remember I was on the phone with her so many nights when I was in the barracks and we had the pay phone. This was before cell phone days. And the cord wasn't long enough to sit down on the floor. And I would be standing there for like 3 or 4 hours and I would do all these different poses. And by the time I was done, my ear would hurt so bad because I had that that phone stuck up to my ear. And I'm going to tell you what, I would go back to my barracks and I'd look at the phone and it'd be like 3 a.m. I'd be like, I got to get up for PT at 5, and I'd have a big smile on my face. I don't even care. Why? Because I was in love with my wife. It was an overflow out of my heart. All I wanted to do was talk to her. All I wanted to do was spend time with her. And I'm telling you, when you see Jesus in that way and his love is so in your heart, I'm telling you right now, do you know that there are people that have all-night prayer meetings? Have you ever been in an all-night prayer meeting? Most crib vigils I've done is nuts. You know, I'm telling you, you have vigils, prayer vigils. I've done that where we stay up all night praying and seeking God. And most Christians are like, Pastor, are you crazy? I'm not coming up here all night long and praying. There's no way I'm doing that. And so I'm just saying to you, the same thing happens to me, and it can happen to you, it can happen to anybody. When my heart is not in love with Jesus, prayer becomes boring, it becomes difficult, it becomes something that I have to do, not something that my heart is passionately involved in. And I want to just share with you real quick, what do you do when your prayer life becomes boring and dry? What do you do when that happens? Because that happens. It happens to me, it happens to you, it happens to everybody. Worship will cause the spark in your heart to ignite a desire to commune with your Creator. Real worship. Heartfelt worship. You ever seen, I think we've got a video that I want to show real quick. How many of you have ever seen fireworks before and you see a fireworks display that's so amazing, the only response is, ooh. You know what I'm talking about? Let's show that video real quick if we got it. Do we have it? So let me ask you, that was Wesley, Frankie and Amy's son Wesley last night at the park when we had the fireworks display, and God showed me something so strong in that. Did you see his face? And he was looking at the fireworks, and it was just an amazing thing to him. He goes, ooh, and he was so enthralled, he couldn't help but make noise, and he couldn't help but look at that. And meanwhile, do you know what I was doing? I was looking at that, and I was frustrated, and let me tell you why. Because there was a big building between us and the fireworks, and all you could see was the top of the fireworks. And I'm sitting there talking with Kelly, and we're laughing about it, and I'm like, well, this is horrible. They picked the worst spot, and I'm critiquing all this, and I'm thinking, what in the world? And you could barely see the fireworks peeking up over the building. Meanwhile, Wesley's sitting there going, ooh, like this. And I got up, and I went and looked at him, and you know what God began to show me? Many times what we focus on is what's between us and God. And when we focus on what's between us and God, we lose the ooh factor in our lives. And we don't see God as beautiful as he really is. And we don't see how amazing he is. And we lose the worship in our life. And when we lose the worship in our life, our prayers become dull and boring because we don't have that awe for him anymore. And I want to encourage you today, if you find yourself in that place where your prayer life has become dull, it's become boring, it's become dry, it's because you've lost the ooh factor in your life. You're not looking at God the way that you should be looking at God, and you're not seeing Jesus the way you should be seeing him, because when we do that, we begin to see this ooh factor in our lives. So let me just share with you, I want you to think about the oohs of God real quick, all right? And if we're going to think about the oohs of God, we've got to learn how to meditate on God and meditate on the Word. And see, this is the problem today, is that most of the time, we don't spend any time thinking about God. Christians today spend so little time thinking about God because we're so occupied with everything else. YouTube and Netflix and Facebook and Twitter and all these things. It's like, and I'm not saying anything is wrong with those things, but what I'm saying is if you don't spend any time meditating on the awesomeness of God, you're going to lose the ooh factor. You're going to begin to see all the things that are between you and God, and you're going to lose sight of God. And because you lose sight of God, your prayers are going to be dry and dull. And so here's how we can get our eyes back on God and quit focusing on the things that are between us and him. I want to give you three oohs, all right? Omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. I want to share those three. If you put them all three together, that's three O's. Everybody say, ooh. If you want to be amazed and you want to get that worship back in your life and you want your prayer life to get on fire again, you got to begin to think about those things, all right? So the first one real quick I want to look at is omnipotent. And if you've got your Bibles, we're going to look at Isaiah 40:12. And while you're looking for Isaiah 40:12, what does omnipotent mean? Omnipotent means all powerful. That's a word that we use to describe God. In other words, there is no power on earth, in heaven, under the earth, anywhere that God does not possess. He is the all powerful. This is the God that we serve. Have you ever been in a place where you've seen a real explosion? I'm talking about something big. If you've seen some close air support, I know probably most of you have never seen that. I'm trying to think of something like big, like a big fireworks. It will make you feel so small when you feel like real explosions happen. It's like, oh my gosh, you really realize how amazing, how mortal you are when you feel the power behind that. And that doesn't even touch how amazing our God is and how powerful He is. I want you to look really quickly at Isaiah 40:12, and this is talking about God. It says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance." When I want to think about the omnipotence of God, the all-powerfulness of God, this is one of my favorite scriptures to sit down and meditate on and think about. You want to get the ooh factor back in your life, just start thinking about how powerful God is, just according to this verse. And I've spent a lot of time studying this out and looking at this, and I'm just going to share one of these with you today. It says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand?" Let's just think about that for a minute. Have you ever, notice it says hand, not hands, all right? So have you ever put water in the palm or the hollow of one hand? You can't hold very much water, can you, when you try to do that? I want you to understand that what this verse is saying is that all of the water that is known on this planet was at one time in the palm of one of God's hands. Think about that. All the water in the Nile, all the water in the oceans, there's a trench in the ocean that's 7 miles deep straight down. This is talking about all the water in the oceans, every river, every stream, every creek, all the underground water, all the bottled water at Costco and Walmart. I'm talking about every drop of water that you can possibly think of at one time was in the palm of God's hand. And let me tell you, if we're talking about the strength of God, just think about this for a second. One cubic foot of fresh water is 62.5 pounds. One cubic foot of seawater is 64 pounds. I want you to think about how many cubic feet of water is just in that 1 7-mile trench of the ocean straight down. Can you even calculate or imagine what the weight of that must be? And at one time, God held every bit of that in the palm of one hand. I don't know about you, but when I think about that, I go, ooh. I mean, God, You're amazing. How awesome is that? And I begin to meditate on that, and I begin to think about that, and I begin to think about how great He is, how powerful He is. Look at this. He's omnipresent. What does that mean? He's everywhere. He's everywhere. If you think about that, and that doesn't make you go, ooh, and that doesn't blow your mind, you're not thinking hard enough. Think about it. He's everywhere. He sees everything. He hears everything. Nothing is hidden from God. Not one thing. He sees it all. He hears it all. He sees our thoughts and hears our thoughts. It's an amazing thing when you begin to think about Him. And He's omniscient. The last O is He's omniscient. What does that mean? He's all-knowing. He knows how many hairs are on each of our heads. He knows every language on the face of the earth because He created them. He knows all science, all history, all math, all knowledge. He cannot learn anything. I love to think about that. Did you know God cannot learn anything? Because He created everything. He's all-knowing. Does that not blow your mind when you think about that? That's the God that you serve, and that's the God that I serve. And when I get to a place where my prayer life starts drying up, and I start getting to a place where I realize, man, God, I don't have that burning passion. I don't have that burning heart. All I have to do is begin to think about who He is and think about what He's done and think about how strong He is and think about how wise He is and think about He's everywhere. He's all around us. And when I begin to think about those things, it absolutely begins to change my mind and change my life. I want you to think about that today. One of the things that can really help you, other than those oohs, is learning how to read and meditate on the Word of God. This is the last scripture I want to share with you today, and then we're going to close. Psalms chapter 8, verse 1, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. Psalms chapter 8, if you've got your Bibles, we're going to read Psalms 8, 1 through 9. reading and meditating in the Psalms is an amazing way to get your heart stirred up to really pray and have a heart and passion for God. Listen to this. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. That's what Wesley was doing on that video. Because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Listen to this. When I consider your heavens, he's taking time to think about the heavens, the work of your fingers. That's what we were just talking about. The moon and the stars which you have ordained. What is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you've made him a little lower than the angels. Is that not amazing to think about? You were made just a little bit lower than the angels. I mean, this whole psalm is amazing when I think about it. And you've crowned him with glory and honor. Do you know that God has crowned you with glory and honor? Does that not amaze you when you think about that? Wow. The God of the universe would take a moment to crown me with glory and honor. What did I do to deserve that? You've made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. God's given us dominion over the work of his hands. He created all this amazing thing that we see, and then what did he do? He gave it to us. You put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the pass of the sea. That's what I tell them when I go fishing. I have dominion over you. Get in my boat. Right? Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Do you see that heart that he has there? Can you read that and not get passionate? Can you read that and not begin to look at God and say, my God, how amazing are you? How awesome are you? And listen, there are 150 psalms that'll do the same thing to you. There's 149 more. If your prayer life is dull and boring over the next 21 days, let me encourage you, get in the book of Psalms and just read that before you begin to pray. Let your heart get stirred up. Listen, there's a quote. Let me read this quote to you really quickly. There's a quote by Thomas Manton, and this is it. It is rashness to pray and not meditate. What we take in by the word, we digest by meditation and let out by prayer. I love that quote. It is rashness to pray and not meditate. In other words, he said, listen, don't even go and start praying unless you've taken some time to meditate and think about how amazing God is. Because you're just going to do yourself a disservice. You're not even going to make any connections. So it's rashness to pray and not meditate. What we take in by the word, we digest by meditation. So in other words, you read that word and begin to think about it. Begin to ponder it. Let it burn in your heart and in your mind. And then let it back out in prayer. Begin to thank God. Lord, you have made me a little bit lower than the angels. How amazing is that? God, you've done this. God, you've done that. God, you're this, you're that. And it's an amazing thing how all of a sudden you'll begin to have that fire in your heart again. Really quickly, I want to share with you some prayers that will please God. You ready for these? These are one-sentence prayers. And I'm telling you, I believe these are the type of prayers that will please God. Here's the first one. What can I do today to put a smile on your face, God? What an amazing prayer to pray. Real simple. And then listen and let him speak to you. What can I do today to put a smile on your face, God? Wouldn't it be amazing if you knew that you could do something tomorrow that would actually put a smile on God's face? How can I be a blessing today to those around me? Lord, you know them. You know what they need. You know what's going on in their lives. Lord, how can I be a blessing today in the lives of those people around me? Here's another good one. Lord, what good works have you created for me today to walk in? Would you show those to me today throughout the day as I'm moving? Would you give me wisdom and let me see those when I'm in that opportunity and I'm in that situation to do something for you? Would you show me that good work you've created? And how about this one? How can I be useful to you today, God? How can I be useful to you today? What can I do today to be useful to you in your kingdom? Not what I'm asking, God, but what are you asking of me? And I want to encourage you with that today. And I want to just give you a challenge over the next 21 days. This is going to be the end right here. I want to challenge you this. And if you're taking notes, I hope you are. And I'm going to ask you to write this down because I want to challenge everybody in here today to take this 21-day prayer and fasting challenge. So the first thing I want to ask you to do is establish a daily time for personal prayer. Establish a time where you say, this is my appointment with God over the next 21 days, and I'm going to do it at a time where I know that I'm not going to be interrupted, right? I can say, God, I know my lunchtime, I can do that, or God, I know I can get up early and I can set that time. Establish a daily time for personal prayer and start with worship and meditation. Before you pray, go to those psalms, pull a psalm out, and begin to read that psalm and begin to meditate on that and let that begin to burn in your heart and then begin to pray. And then pour your heart out to God. And I want to challenge you, listen to God and write down what you sense He's saying to you. Get a journal. Lord, I feel like you're saying 21 days and just say, Lord, I'm gonna keep a journal. And I'm just going to write down, Lord, this is what I feel like you're saying to me today. This is what I feel like you're giving me to do today. And then obey what God tells you to do. And I believe that as we do that as a church, what we're going to see is our prayer lives are going to go to the next level. We're going to get into a place where we're going to get closer to God. Our relationship with God is going to grow. We're going to hear the voice of God in a more powerful way. We're going to hear God. Wouldn't it be great if you begin to hear God on a daily basis when you're at work and when you're doing in God and you feel these promptings where God is, hey, I want you to talk to this person. I want you to share with this person. Why don't you pray for that person? Why don't you go here? You notice in the Bible, you see that happening all the time where men and women had relationships with God to the fact that God would even tell them what street to go to. He would say, listen, go to this street, and this person and that person's going to come and talk to you. And that's all through the scriptures where that happened. God doesn't change, right? He still wants to do those same things. And I want to encourage you that over the next 21 days, I believe, as we come together and as we fast and pray as a church and we begin to really seek God, I'm believing that God is going to take our prayer lives to the next level. Our worship is going to grow. Our meditation is going to grow. And we're going to have such a hunger for Him. Amen? Let's pray right now. Father, we just come to you right now in Jesus' name. And I just thank you for your grace that's in this place right now. Thank you for every person that's here today, Father. And Lord, I ask you that those ooze would come back into our life, Father. I pray right now, Father, that you would just set us up this week. I pray, God, that you would give us times of refreshing in your presence. I pray, Father, right now that you'd begin to move in our prayer lives, that you'd begin to move in the Word. God, I pray that you would make the Scriptures come alive over the next 21 days as we spend time praying and fasting together. God, I ask you that you would break chains. I ask you, Father, that you would cause the fire of like you've never used us before, Father, that we would be bright and shining lights and examples everywhere that you placed us. God, let the altar, the family prayer altar, be rebuilt in our homes. Let men and women come together on their job sites and begin to seek the face of God together. Let us begin to pray more strongly together as a church to see your kingdom come, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, down on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we give you praise for it and we give you glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen.